What do you call a beautiful canyon?
I don't know what.
Gorgeous.
You're tuning into the Children's Hour. This is K89.9, KUNM, and KUNM.org, live and local from the University of New Mexico.
Children's Hour right here on KUNM. Good morning. This is Katie Stone, and we've got a nice studio full of kids. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Well, let's start here.
Hi, I'm Jude.
Hi, I'm Liliana.
Wahaha! I'm the evil vampire Imogene.
Oh, no.
Hi, I'm Elliot.
Hi, I'm Siobhan.
Hi, I'm Phoebe.
Hello, Taylee.
Hi, I'm Ian.
Hello, I'm Maggie.
Hi, I'm Anna.
Hi, it's Madeline.
Hi, I'm Iris.
Hi, I'm Julia.
Hi, I'm Katie, and Mark's here at the board with me. It's a great day on the Children's Hour today, because we're going to talk about something, and I just want to ask the crew here, a place called Chaco Canyon. Heard of it?
Yeah, I've been there.
I've been there.
It's really fun.
Yeah, it is?
Yeah.
Is it really fun?
It's really fun.
Have you been there, Katie?
I have been there. I have camped there. I love Chaco Canyon, and I have for years wanted everyone in the listening audience to know more about Chaco Canyon. Today, we're going to do that, because Chaco Canyon is a place here in New Mexico, for those of you listening online from elsewhere. It's a World Heritage Site, UNESCO, UN something, something, something. Anyway, it's a UN World Heritage Site, which, you know, there's only 22, 23 in the United States, and three of them are in the state of New Mexico, and Chaco Canyon is one of them.
Wow.
And that what that means is that the world decided collectively that this is a place that is so special to our collective human history, it must be preserved. And did you know it's like 2 hours from Albuquerque? It's so close. And so we want you to know more about Chaco Canyon and learn all about that. And then I hear there's something happening on Monday. Everybody keeps like, I don't know.
The eclipse.
What? We have to find out all about the eclipse, of course, which is happening on Monday. It's the eclipse. We're just going to call it the eclipse.
The eclipse.
Until the next one, and we'll call that one the eclipse. And speaking of eclipse, have you ever noticed there ain't no sunshine when there's an eclipse, Maggie? Or is it some lady working the night shift?
Probably both. It's the sun working the night shift. And everyone's like, dang it, it went on its night shift.
Why did the sun's not supposed to have a night shift?
But then it goes to the other side of the planet for us as a night shift.
I have news for you, Mags.
What?
And for all of you, the sun isn't revolving around the Earth.
We're going around it.
We're going around the sun.
I know.
The sun actually never rises. Isn't that sad?
We rise.
We spin.
No, we fall while it rises.
We fall.
We're just like, brow.
We should just call it happy good morning. It's the earth has risen again.
Good morning. The earth is falling.
Don't panic.
The earth is falling.
We've been falling your entire life. Okay, well, you're tuned to the Children's Hour. In case you can't tell, this is KUNM broadcasting live from atop of Oñate Hall on the campus of the University of New Mexico. Let's give our listeners a great good morning.
Good morning.
It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, I wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away, and I know.
Yeah, the sunshine does go away, and it's because the ladies work in the night shift. According to Maggie, you're tuned to the Children's Hour right here on KUNM, and there is a magical place in New Mexico. If you live here, you've heard about it a lot. If you don't live here, maybe you've never heard about it. It's called the Chaco Canyon National Historical Park. And how to describe Chaco? I'm going to leave that to our guests. We have Dabney Ford. She's a retired archaeologist, worked at Chaco Canyon for 33 years. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Hi.
And we have Hillary Grabowska, who is currently a park ranger at Chaco Canyon. Good morning, Hillary.
Hello.
And we have Wendy Buster. She's a museum curator at Chaco.
Hi, Chaco.
Wendy.
Good morning.
And we have Brenna Lissaway. She's an archivist.
Good morning, Katie.
Do we say archivist or archivist?
Archivist.
Okay, an archivist with Chaco Canyon. And Rowan is here. Where are you, Rowan? Rowan, hi.
Here.
Rowan, come running in. Hi, Rowan. Come on up to the mic. Rowan is here. He is a junior ranger as part of Chaco Canyon. And I take it, Rowan, have you gotten any kind of badge or anything for being a junior ranger?
Yes.
Okay. Will you tell us more about that in a little bit? Just in a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Rowan is here. Great to have you all. Thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour, you all. And if you were listening to this and you're listening, say, from New Zealand, and you don't know what Chaco Canyon is, how do you describe Chaco Canyon?
Well, our museum describes it as the center of the center.
I tell you, I was just telling the kids before we came on the air that when I go to Chaco, I feel like I'm at a place where there's a portal to another dimension. And if I just keep looking, I'll find the portal. It is so magical. All right. But other than a center of the center, how would you describe Chaco?
A huge collection of archaeological sites, and these were the largest buildings in what would become the United States until the mid-1800s, and construction started in 850.
Whoa. Wow. And why? Why Chaco? It is located in a very funny place. I mean, it's not on a river, and it's not on the ocean. So why, it's kind of, I mean, I hate to say this, but it's sort of in the middle of nowhere, and yet it's clear, and you'll tell us more about this, that it really was the center of an ancient civilization. Why that location? And it is located, for those of you who want to go find it on your map, it's located northwest of Albuquerque, about 100 and something miles?
A little over 100.
Why there?
Well, archaeologists have no idea why there. It's probably our most vexing question, because if you need water, there's a little bit, but not much. If you need good soils for growing, there's some soils, but it's not very good. And if you want to be, you're kind of in the middle of everything as it is today, but yet surrounding you is a lot of empty country. So we don't know. Other than it's a spectacular spot, and it may have meaning that's much deeper than those really functional, growing, agricultural sorts of things.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Like, we do know that Chaco has a lot of rooms. It seems like thousands of people must have lived there. Did thousands of people really live there?
Well, it has a lot of rooms, hundreds, thousands of buildings. But we don't think every single room was full of a family. Some people think that no one really called Chaco home, but you came and went. Maybe That's kind of an extreme thought. Some people think that there was sort of a maintenance level population that stayed there and took care of these thousands and thousands of rooms. Others think at times there may have been big groups of people in there and then vacated for periods of time.
Anybody want to add? So that's what you would describe. So Chaco Canyon would describe as a collection of ruins of these sort of like mini little cities almost, like, or mini little towns of thousands of rooms each. And they have ceremonial sites. We know that they have kivas. But there's also a pretty magical thing about Chaco when it comes to astronomy. Anybody want to kick that around? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I drove down from Chaco this morning, so I left at 5 a.m.
Oh, thank you so much.
And it was wonderful because I was able to look up and see the Milky Way. And, you know, majority of Americans can't see the Milky Way because majority of Americans are living in the cities today. And so we're a designated dark sky park. And so we've got some of the darkest skies.
It's so beautiful there at night. It really is like you could step into the universe. But I thought also Chaco itself was sort of an astronomical, explain that piece. It's actually, isn't it mapping astronomy somehow? And I didn't always 100% understand this, although there's an excellent movie that explains it really well. But can you explain it to our listeners?
Well, the buildings are positioned on the landscape in a very precise way. And we argue about how precise that is, but they're positioned themselves, but they're also oriented to solar and lunar events. And it's not unlike what we do today. When you want solar gain, you orient houses and windows to the south, depending on where you're living. So there's sort of a functional aspect to it, but they're also positioned and oriented in an entire landscape for 50,000 square miles. I mean, it's in a gigantic landscape, and there's a sense to that. There's a interconnectedness to that landscape.
So it almost had like city planning.
Yeah, that's
right. To make this happen, someone had to plan this out.
We think so.
And then there's also the sun dagger business and the moon dagger business, and I definitely want to go into that more. You're listening to the Children's Hour right here on KUNM, and in the studio are experts on Chaco Canyon, including Dabney Ford, who you just heard. She's a retired archaeologist, worked up there for 33 years. Hilary Grabowska, you heard from Park Ranger up in Chaco. Wendy Bustard's here, museum curator. We're going to talk more about what the collection in the museum with Brenna Lisaway, who's the archivist. And Rowan's in here, too. He's going to talk about being a junior ranger. But Maggie, you had a question. Go for it.
Is the canyon chocolate or anything related to that?
Yeah, Chaco, chocolate.
Actually, it is related to chocolate, but not as you think.
Don't eat the ruins.
No, I could talk later about a researcher here from UNM campus discovered that the people 1,000 years ago were making and drinking chocolate.
Well, this is one of the things I want to get into, and we're going to come back with our folks from Chaco Canyon. But when you're hiking in Chaco Canyon and you're walking around, you sure get a sense that you are not the footsteps of where you're walking. In fact, one of my favorite parts about Chaco Canyon is climbing up to the mesa above. So the Chaco Canyon is really located in a very wide canyon, and there's sort of a mesa canyon sides. Then, and there are actually ancient stairwells carved into these sides of these canyons. And as you're hiking around, all of a sudden you realize, oh, wow, I can just go up and there's handholds and little stairs. And it is pretty darn amazing to feel like you're walking in the path of people from thousands of years ago. But here's what's so crazy about Chaco. When you talked about it being the center of things, how far away do we know that people came to Chaco? And where did they come from?
Well, we know that they had a large trade network. So Wendy mentioned the chocolate. Chocolate is not native to this area. So they were trading with the people in Central America to bring in chocolate and macaws and, you know, throughout the entire Southwest as well for seashells, which came from the Pacific Ocean, and turquoise. So this was, today it seems like it's in the middle of nowhere because it's a long drive to get to it. But then it was It was a happening place.
Amazing. It must have been so amazing to be the one who discovered macaw feathers in Chaco Canyon. Because for those of you who don't live in New Mexico, macaws, and for kids, macaws are those beautiful parrots, multicolored parrots. You've seen them at the zoo. They don't live here. In fact, they don't live really anywhere near here. They live like 1,000 miles south of here. So whoever brought those macaw feathers came a very, very long way.
And they didn't just bring feathers. They brought the actual birds. And we have evidence of the birds living in Pueblo Bonito, for example. So they were able to keep a tropical bird alive in our climate. You know what our climate's like. It's crazy.
Yeah. Non-New Mexicans, our climate is we're at 5,000 feet in Albuquerque, and most of the state is up high like this. And so we do have winter here. It is not like people think of us like Arizona. Oh, it's hot all the time. Actually, that's not true. We have winter. We have all four seasons, and it can be very harsh in the winter, especially in a place like Chaco, which is so open to the west and gets really nasty storms. You guys get pretty bad storms out there in Chaco Canyon sometimes.
We get quite a bit of snow. We had snow in May this year.
Wow. Wow. We're talking with the folks from Chaco Canyon. We're going to come back to them. And just wanted to play a little of this. Robert Mirabal has written an ode to Chaco, and a lot of the music about Chaco is similar to this. And take a listen. This is the Children's Hour right here on KUNM.
Thank you.
from his CD Warrior Magician, Robert Mirabal, with Memoir Chaco. And in fact, someone's got the flute in this room. I guess flutes were played in Chaco Canyon, and we're learning a lot about Chaco Canyon with Dabney Ford. She's a retired archaeologist, worked up at Chaco for 33 years. Hilary Grabowska is a park ranger currently in Chaco Canyon. Wendy Bustard is the museum curator. Brenna Lissaway is the archivist for Chaco Canyon. And Rowan is here as a junior ranger. We're going to talk to you about that in a minute. But Liliana has a question for you all.
Who are the people who lived there?
Well, they are the ancestors of all of the Native Americans who live in this region today. So, and they may have come from all over the Four Corners area, what we now think of as Colorado, Arizona, Utah, New Mexico. That's kind of the center of this society, this culture. And they may have come from their homes that were 100, 200 miles away to visit Chaco or use Chaco or even live in Chaco. And then they moved out